Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, I'm James Hill. Welcome to the Monday Racing Post podcast. Joining me in the studio, we have Robbie Wilders. And also online, we have the one and only Tom Nugent from Paddy Power. No Maddie today, but Rob, you're fit and firing. Did you have a good weekend?
It was all right, mate. Yeah, I actually had a bit of a setback last night. I went out on a date and I was stood up.
Oh.
So, yeah, that left a sour taste. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of it at the moment.
Oh, dear.
But
that happens to us all.
It's an alien to me.
Experience it once in your life.
Completely alien to me, but I'll report back when I get more information.
Oh, dear. Sorry to hear that. What about you, Tom? Did you have a good weekend doing anything exciting?
Yeah, far less dramatic. I was in the Curra all 3 days, so busy, but it was good.
How is the Curra these days? Is it looking good under the revamped layout and stuff?
Yeah, it looks great. A few kind of complaints about the length of queues for a pint and stuff, but you have queues at Cheltenham as well. It's not just the Curra. I'm sure they'll be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
It looked great, and they got great weather and a decent crowd on the Saturday, maybe a little bit quiet on the Thursday and Friday.
Certainly looking great in the sunshine. Right, let's have a look back at the action at the Curra, starting off with the big race, the Irish Derby, and a big upset, Sovereign winning at 33-1. Rob, did you see that coming?
I don't know if any of us could have, could we, Jimmy? Yeah. I mean, it's fair to say he got quite a cheap lead on the front end with Norway, didn't he? But he did keep up the gallop all the way. Norway was kind of backpedaling in the end. And Anti van Dijk was the only horse to really close. We need to see Sovereign again to come out to find out really whether he just is a really improved horse or not. But it was quite interesting to see that Ryan Moore's pre-race comments about Sovereign were quite confident and suggesting we haven't seen the best of this horse at all and there's a lot more to come. But no, I couldn't have predicted it. It was one of those races where it looked like he just got a soft lead and nothing could really close.
Yeah. And Sovereign, of course, ridden by Padraig Beggy, who I think we can now say is a bit of a Derby specialist. Tom, what did you make of the race? Did you think it was a Beggy masterclass from the front, or was it all a bit of a farcical event for a Group 1 in the end?
You'd be kind of... I find it hard to be satisfied that the best horse won the race, but it's not the winner nor Porrick Beggy's fault that the lads in behind maybe give him a little bit too much of a lead. He's obviously a decent horse in his own right and did stay galloping quite strongly, looks to have plenty of stamina, and he's a fine big individual as well, plenty of scope. But you would be slightly concerned that the best horse didn't win the race, but looks to have plenty of stamina. He's gone into a relatively short price with the Ledger now as well. He's 10s from 20s with us for the Ledger Sovereign. Aidan kind of didn't really have a clear plan directly after the race. He mentioned the King George as a possibility, but you'd imagine the Ledger is probably the most likely target as well. So 10s from 20s Sovereign for the Ledger.
Okay, and also one or two judges saying Anthony van Dijk could be a Ledger horse, staying on in second, showing good stamina once again. What's the full market at the moment for the Ledger?
Yeah, we're Japan quite short at the top now, 7-4. Broom, who arguably didn't really fire now, I know he missed the kick, and then the Irish Derby, he's 5-1 second favourite. Anthony van Dijk, 4s out to 7-1 third favourite now. Sir Dragon A is still in there at 8s. Sovereign at 10s alongside Annapurna and Dashing Willoughby at 12-1. Constantinople and 14-1 and bigger the rest.
A lot of trials to be run for that yet, Robbie. Any early... One to take your fancy?
A lot of water to go under the bridge still. I still really like Broom. I know he completely missed the kick on Saturday. He looks like he's going to be really suited by mile 6. I think you just kind of got to put a line through the horses in behind of the Irish Derby run. It'll be quite interesting though, won't it, to see if Sovereign might contest the John Smith's Cup at York this weekend. He could sneak in at the bottom of the weights. We ran a story about that yesterday. He could race off a mark of 100, so effectively he's £10 well in, which would be a fascinating placement. You wouldn't expect it being a classic winner. But I don't think anyone at Cornwall would have expected it. Now Sovereign will probably be on the Stallions roster at Ballydoyle after that. So maybe he could take that in, and if he did turn up, it'd be fascinating.
Yeah, he could yet bag another classic. Who knows? We have had a couple of other Group 1s that took place in Europe over the weekend. And actually on Friday there was the Pretty Polly Stakes and another upset there. Iridessa returning to form to beat Pink Dogwood. And in France, we had a first Group 1 win for Coronet, ridden by a rampant Frankie Dettori in the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud. Good result for John Gosnat, Lartidar finishing third. Tom, the Pretty Polly result, were you disappointed with Pink Dogwood? She was a short price favourite.
Yeah, a little disappointed, and I kind of, having backed her in Epsom, I went to try and get it all back into her, so I was sicking myself because I'd done my dough, but looking back on it a few times, I don't know, maybe the ground was just a little bit fast for her, and I find it hard to crab the winner too much. She was quite a smart two-year-old herself, and she did it quite well now, and I was impressed enough, and Joseph afterwards was very taken with the performance as well, so I wouldn't be crabbing the winner too much now. I'd say Pink Dogwood, maybe with a bit of ease, and it might be a better filly, and it'd be interesting to see if she's kind of going to head towards the arc route. That would be interesting, but yeah, I wouldn't be crabbing Iridesa too much at all. I thought she was good.
Yeah, Robbie, Tom makes a fair point about Iridesa. I mean, that's a second Group 1 for her. Of course, she won the Fillies Mile, beating Hermosa last season as a juvenile. Where do you think she can go now she's found her right distance at a mile and a quarter?
Yeah, she always seemed like she'd be suited by stepping up in trips. She's obviously been campaigned over a mile this season. It's kind of looking back in hindsight, letting her be sent off about 8-1 just seemed almost just way too big. Where could Iridesa go? There's options further down the line. She might even stay a mile four, something like the Yorkshire Oaks potentially. Could be a target. O'Brien in great form. He had a couple of nice winners at the Curragh. But yeah, a little bit disappointed with Pink Dogwood, but I think Tom makes a good point. But maybe a bit more ease in the ground might see her to best effect.
And you're a fan of Coronet. You must have been pleased to see her get a Group 1 in France.
Certainly was, Jimmy. Certainly was, yeah. Well deserved. She placed in so many Group 1s. Richly deserved. I quite liked her for the Coronation Cup. She didn't go in that, and then the Hardwick, she was taken out of that. This was obviously a softer Group 1. One of my favourite fillies, really. Now they're planning to retire her at the end of the season. That's her job done. And delighted to see it.
Excellent. There was also plenty of sprinting action which took place over the weekend. Of course, the July Cup now less than 2 weeks away, and maybe a couple of pointers took place over the weekend for that Group 1 at Newmarket. We had Invincible Arby winning odds on at Newcastle, did that impressively. We had Lamato coming back to form with a win at Newmarket in the Criterion, as he always tends to do at this time of year, around this time of year. And also Speaking Colours, who ran so well when fourth in the Diamond Jubilee, won the Dash at the Curragh. Rob, any chance we saw the July Cup winner at all on Saturday, do you think?
There's a chance, but I don't think any of those three would be really betting propositions for me for the July Cup. I really like Kate Byron, wrote about it in our Big Race Jury on Saturday. He actually had his Wokingham form franked as well, because the horse who finished fourth to Speaking Colours was Sovereign Horse, who was down the field in that Wokingham, wasn't beaten far by Speaking Colours. Really unexposed over sprinting trips, Kate Byron. The other horse I quite like for the July Cup is Pretty Pollyanna. Returning to the scene of Emphatic, the Spey last year, where she won the Duchess of Cambridge by 7 lengths. I think she has trained on. She was obviously second to Hermosa in the 1,000 guineas. I'm not sure a mile was a trip. I'll be really keen to see how she gets on back over six at Newmarket.
Yes, of course, she was very impressive at that same meeting 12 months ago. Tom, Kate Byron been very popular in the July Cup market since winning the Wokingham at Royal Ascot. What's the betting for that race?
We're 11-4 at the top advertised at the moment. Dream of Dreams, who ran a very good race in Ascot as well, as 4-1 second fav. Kate Byron sixes. Invincible Army sevens from 12s after winning at the weekend. Brando 8-1 10 sovereigns 12s. Speaking Colours, we clipped that as well after winning in the Curragh, 12s from 20s. Lamato also into 12s from 16s. Fairyland 16s alongside So Perfect 20-1 bar.
And what do you make of the July Cup picture at the moment?
I'd agree with Robbie that I wouldn't be backing any of the three horses that we mentioned from the weekend just yet. And I would think Pretty Pollyanna would have a big chance at a nice each-way price. She's 20-1 there, probably bigger with other firms. She was 33s not that long ago, and she tends to race handy enough, and she'd be very interesting at a big price.
Now, the juvenile scene tends to hot up at this time of year. Of course, we've had lots of big two-year-old races taking place at Royal Ascot, but it took a step up further on Saturday when Siskin won the Railway Stakes really impressively and is now top of the Racing Post ratings tree on the juvenile form lines. And I think the rider Colin Keane said that he'd never sat on a better two-year-old than Siskin. Rob, what did you make of that performance? Yeah, that was impressive.
This was crazy good, wasn't it? And a £5 clear of any other juvenile we've seen. Yeah, really liked Siskin for the Coventry, actually. I backed him at 14-1 for that, but he didn't turn up. And I think in hindsight, if he did turn up there, he'd probably taken quite a lot of beating. I'm not sure Arizona could have lived with him. Yeah, this was really smooth. The horse in behind, Monarch of Egypt, is one I really like, and he sort of made mincemeat of
it. Yeah, man, that was really highly regarded at the start of the season by Ballydore. I mean, just blew him away.
No, yeah, and his maiden win has been franked so many times. I think he had Sunday Sovereign in behind in that maiden win. So he's obviously still a good horse. And I think maybe he could be entitled to get closer if they meet again. They're talking about the Phoenix Stakes next for Siskin, which looks the ideal port of call. Further down the line, I don't see why he couldn't stay a bit further than six furlongs. Connections certainly think that. Something like the National Stakes of the Car over seven. I mean, there's Group 1s to be had, and JL Lyons hasn't had a Group 1 winner since 2011 in the Cheveley Park, and I think this horse looks like the type that could take him to those places again.
It wasn't just Siskin who was impressive over the weekend. Summer Romance of Godolphin really caught the eye in the fillies division, winning a listed contest at Newmarket. She's one to keep an eye on for later in the season. But Tom, back to Siskin. What's the word in Ireland? How far can this horse go? How impressive were you by him? Were you impressed by him on Saturday?
Yeah, no, we were very impressed. Personally, I was very, very impressed with him now. But the vibe afterwards in the Curragh was obviously fantastic for Gerard Lyons. A self-made man has managed to attract Judmont into the yard, and they've given him what is turning out to be an absolutely superb colt, and he's got a very bright future ahead of him. But the vibe in the Curragh afterwards was, don't be that surprised if Monarch of Egypt gets a little bit closer to him next time, which I was very surprised to hear because Siskin was so visually impressive. But we went 10-1 second favourite from 25 Siskin for the 2,000 guineas next year. Pinatubo currently tops that market at 8-1. But it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens as the season goes on. As Robbie says, the Phoenix Stakes looks like the next most likely target for Siskin, and it'll be very interesting to see if that kind of whispers on the breeze turned into market support in the Phoenix Stakes for Monarch of Egypt.
Yes, well, it'll be fascinating to see them clash again if that is the case. Excellent. Okay, well, that's a look back at last weekend's action. Now we look ahead to this week's racing.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Racing Post podcast with myself, James Hill, Robbie Wilders and Tom Nugent from Paddy Power. Now, we've got a busy week ahead. It's Coral Eclipse weekend, of course, on Saturday. But we've also got some top racing coming from Tipperary and Sandown later in the week. We've got some listed contests. Let's start with the race at Tipperary. It is a US Navy flag, Tipperary Stakes, listed contest for two-year-olds over five furlongs. Rob, have you had a look at this?
I've had a look. So we've got Strike for Glory entered for Robert Cowley, who's fourth in the Norfolk behind Arlie. He might be interested if showing up. He's also entered in the Sandown race, the other juvenile sprint. But the one I came down on was Air Force Jet. He ran in the Norfolk. He was quite well fancied for that, but he was down the field. Maybe we can make an excuse. That was the first time he's raced on soft ground there. I'd be interested to see if he can bounce back. On his previous start, this Joseph O'Brien trained horse, he actually beat Southern Hills, who won the Windsor Castle. So that's looking like pretty good form. I don't think he's one to give up on, and I'll probably chance him.
Okay. Tom, who do you think is going to land this prize?
I thought King Neptune's form is starting to look quite smart. He won a Dundalk maiden, then second to Ickworth, second to Siskin, and then he ran sixth, only beaten five lengths in the Norfolk. And I'd say this type of race might suit him. I would agree with Robbie in terms of Air Force Jet went to Ascot with a very, very big reputation coming out of Ireland. There was a lot of people who fancied him out of the way. But just on the basis of pure form alone, I thought King Neptune would have a chance. Not sure which of the English horses going to show up, if Strive for Glory is going to go to Sandown or not, but King Neptune for me.
Another tasty juvenile race on Friday. This one's at Sandown, listed contest again over five furlongs, the Dragon Stakes. And Tom, you've had a look at this?
Yeah, I had a quick look through it, and I would actually say I thought Strive for Glory stood out here for me. This is kind of a lower grade from what he had been kind of tipping around in, and I thought this was winnable. So yeah, Strive for Glory for me for Robert Cowell.
And Robbie?
Strive for Glory is interesting if he turns. I'm not sure which way Robert Cowell's going to go, but the one I came down is Oh Purple Rain. You could argue maybe he's not. He could do with a slight step up in trip, but his class might just get him through. Two runs ago, he gave Pinatubo a bit of a scare in the woodcut. There's clearly quite a big engine there, and we know how good Pinatubo was in the Chesham. Lowered the track record there. Yeah, this is an experienced, hardy two-year-old for Richard Hannan. And although he probably will need further in the fullness of time, I think he might just be too good here.
Okay. We've also got another listed race at the Esher track, the Davis Insurance Services Gala Stakes. This one over a mile and a quarter for older horses. And who do you think will
yes,
this one?
Should say it was won last year by Mustachery, the Lockinge winner. And I think Shake Hand Dynamic 2 might have another winner this year with Elakam if he shows up. He was superb at Goodwood a couple of starts ago, putting in a big career best. And then he's run well again in the Wolverton behind a Dabe, where I thought maybe the soft ground might have been against him, but actually on RPRs, that was a career best again. So he's coming forward all the time. He's finally starting to deliver on the infinite juvenile promise he showed for Mark Johnston. I think there could be big races to win with Elakam. He would have to give a £3 penalty away, but I'd like to think he'd be good enough.
Tom, what do you make of Elakam? He was so exciting at one stage. Do you think he's been lived up to his reputation in the end?
Yeah, he came to Ireland for the Irish Guineas last year, and he was fancied out of the way and ran stink, and didn't really kind of recapture much of his early promise. I just wouldn't be convinced by him now because he'll probably be short. The one I fancied at a price each way in the race was Wildstern, who still lightly raced and just didn't get a trip at all in Chester the last day. So if he can get a clear run on a slightly fairer track than Sandown, I'd fancy him each way if he can recreate some of his early form.
Now, of course, the big one on Saturday is the Coral Eclipse, one of the great Group 1s of the year. And we could be seeing the return of Enable here, fingers crossed. Do you have a betting for us here at all, Tom, for the Eclipse?
Yeah. We do, of course. Yeah, absolutely fascinating, as you say, whether we'll see Enable or not. She currently tops the market at even money. Circus Maximus 4-1 next in alongside Magical Regal Reality 6-1. Telecaster 12s, Zabiel Prince 14s, Adabe 16s alongside Mustachery and 50-1 and bigger the rest.
And Tom, do you think she can make a winning return?
You'd love to see it. You would love to see it purely because it tees up what would be an absolutely fascinating kind of second half of the season with her. And it would be great, I think, just because it would kind of capture the imagination of a lot of people, transcend just the racing pages in the paper and maybe get into the front of the sports sections and things.
And who do you think could follow her home if she does win?
I think Circus Maximus is probably the takeout horse of the three-year-olds we've seen this season, although a lot of people are starting to knock the three-year-old crop now. I think Circus Maximus could be the most likely, although not the most original, given the favourite and second favourite to finish first and second.
Can you see an upset happening here, Rob?
I could potentially see one, yeah. I mean, Enable, for all she's top class, she still has a couple of questions to answer. It's her first run back. I understand she had a bit of a setback, or maybe she's just been slow to come to hand this season. She's not run over 10 furlongs in a very long time either. She's obviously a mile and a half filly. But it doesn't look the strongest field. If there was one to take her on, I'd probably come down on Regal Reality. He's a horse I've really liked this season. 4-year-old Sir Michael Stout, typical improver. He comfortably beat Matterhorn in his last start, who came out and won at Windsor this weekend. And Matterhorn was 10th in the Queen Anne. Before that, he was only just beaten over a length by Beat the Bank, who's come out and finished second in the Queen Anne as well. He looks a horse that could have quite a big season. He's been quite well found in the market. I think he's about 6-1 now. I was expecting a bit more juice, but I think there's a lot more to come from this horse.
I mean, he does have a fascinating record with these older horses, doesn't he? Sir Michael Stout, it's amazing how he improves them. Right, coming up next, we've got the best bets for the rest of the week, including the Naps.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, let's have a look at the rest of the midweek action now. Fantastic racing all the way around the country in Britain and also in Ireland. Chaps, best bets of the week, not including your Naps. What have you picked out, Robbie?
Yeah, really interesting runner this week, Jim. Apparently, Mr. Adjudicator might be back with us. He's got a couple of inches on the flat at Bellewstown. Well, now he's rated 157 over hurdles, and he's only rated 81 on the flat. He used to be with Joe Murphy when he ran there. So he's effectively £76 lower. He's obviously just come off the back of a career best in the Prix Le Barker, beating Bapom, and he'll have his sights lowered. A mark of 81 really is interesting. He'll probably have to win it to go up enough in a handicap to get in one of those top premier handicaps with William Mullins. And we know Mullins has done so well with these dual-purpose horses. He's got one entry in a 1 mile 4 handicap, another in 2 mile 1. He's not really bred to stay that well, certainly on the flat. His best form over jumps is over 2 miles, so I'd be more interested in the 1 mile 4 handicap. And that is the 8:40 at Bellewstown on Thursday. So I'd be keen to see wherever he shows up, but I'd prefer him down in trip, I'd say.
Okay. Tom, any standouts for you at the racing that's coming up?
Yeah, 7 o'clock. We've actually got a great week of racing in Ireland. We've got the 3-day Bellewstown Festival, and we've got the Tipperary card with the group, the 2-year-old race that we spoke about earlier, and the Grimes Hurdle is in there as well. But 7 o'clock Wednesday, Bellewstown, Diamond Hill is a very nice mare, and the removal of any hurdles in front of her should help her cause. She hasn't been the best jumper in the past, but I think she's not far away from being talented. It's a qualified rider's handicap, so she carries 11 stone 4 at the moment, which is just about Patrick Mullins' minimum. So yeah, it would be interesting to see if that's the selection for him, but I think she's talented and should be the one to beat.
Okay, nap time now.
This will not be beaten.
Tom, we'll start with you.
Tipperary in the opener on Thursday. It is the 5:35. A horse called Locker for Richard O'Brien should be a lot better than his run in Leopardstown the last day. And the market suggested on the day that he's quite talented, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was to get the job done. So Locker in the opening race in Tipperary on the 4th of July, Thursday.
Wow. Robbie, what have you got for us?
Well, after last night, I'm looking to just rebuild my confidence, and I'm just going to keep it plain and simple with Kipling in the 5:35 at Tipperary on Thursday, 7.5 furlong contest. This 2-year-old, Aidan O'Brien trained, he's a full brother to Irish Oaks winner and Yorkshire Oaks winner, Seventh Heaven. On his debut, he made some really nice late headway behind Lope Fernandez, who's obviously come out and run really well in the Cheshire behind Pinatubo, given quite a lenient ride from Shamie Heffernan. Yeah, we'll come on from that, and it looks a surefire next time out winner.
You ain't racing at all this week?
Not for me, mate. No, you?
No, I'm not. No, I'm working hard. You going to any of the festivals at all, Tom, coming up?
I'm not. Chained to the desk in the office. Won't see daylight
from there. All this sunshine and we can't get out. What's happening? Please, let us go racing. Okay, well, that's it for this week. Thanks very much for listening in. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, you can rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening at. Bruce and the gang will be back for Friday's podcast. The Coral Eclipse, the final declarations will be out then, obviously, so it'll be fascinating to see who is taking part. Until then, we will see you soon and enjoy the rest of the week. Goodbye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.